driver charged off with them for the train depot.
You've seen him before?
See, we followed him for some 2 days and learned nothing. He is 5'8", blonde hair. But how did he know that we were onto him?
Damned if I know. But things are unfolding. I think your investigations made him uneasy, and he thought we had more evidence than we had. So, he was prepared.
You think the information we need, was it in the safe?
That money. He didn't leave it for us to find.
All right, driver. That's him running down the platform with 2 suitcases.
Chet was standing up, using his right hand on the shade brace to steady himself, ready to jump from the coach if they got close enough for him to pounce on Riley. The man started to veer away, but too late. Chet made a lurch forward and caught him with his arm wrapped around his head. He sent the man and his 2 suitcases in what he later described as an ass-over tea kettle wreck on the train platform. Jesus covered him before he could get up. Women were screaming. Men stood back, bug-eyed and aghast.
Nothing wrong here. U.S. Marshals arresting a felon.
What in the hell is going on here?
A cop with a billy club joined them.
Nothing, officer. I'm a U.S. Marshal, and I'm arresting this man.
Sam Riley.
Thank God you remembered what he looked like.
I want a lawyer.
Shut up till you get one.
Chet opened the first suitcase and closed it before the loose currency blew away. The second one contained papers and ledgers. He had lots to go over.
Lock him up in a tight cell. No bond. The charges are murder as well as night riding against innocent people.
You know the routine?
I'll be there and file charges.
They loaded the money and the other suitcase in the Juarez taxi man's rig and went to the hotel. The cases were sent up to the room and Jesus with them. Chet stayed and talked to the driver.
You own this rig and horse?
I only wish, senor, I did.
You have a wife?
Si.
You treat her well?
I have little money. We never fight. I have 3 children.
If you own this horse and buggy, could you make more money?
The man. He wants 150 for him. I asked him one day.
What's your name?
Antonio Stevens.
I'm Chet Burns. We will be partners. I will give you the money to buy this outfit. You'll keep and feed the horse. You'll keep all the money, but for me, put 10 pesos in the church poor box each year.
Are you serious? 10 pesos?
Here's my money. $100, $200, $300.
Why pay me so much?
Someday you might buy another horse and buggy and hire a driver and put 10 more pesos in the box for me.
Senor, I'm about to cry. Why do this for me?
You never backed down or ran away. We'd have never arrested this man if you hadn't cared for us. Don't get drunk on my money. Buy one horse anyway, and kiss your wife and children for me.
The man smiled through his tears and held up 2 fingers.
I will have 2 carriages next time you come to Juarez, Chet Burns.
He turned in the dusty, hot street and looked up. Jesus was in the hotel window and nodded to approve whatever he did for the man. Now he would write a wire to Elizabeth and tell her it was over, except for his torn pants and his slightly wrenched knee, this time from the wreck on the platform. A boy would take his wire to the telegraph office and she'd know he would be coming home soon. In the hotel room, the 4 men had a bottle of whiskey open and some red wine Jesus was drinking. They looked relaxed, sprawled out on the furniture in the living room portion of their suite of rooms.
Get your glasses up. For some run-of-the-mill cowboys, we didn't do too badly today. If no one has a claim on the money, I want to split it between the 3 of you. You risked your lives coming down here and found Hull and the man who hired him. I believe all that money is ill-gotten gains, and we'll stick to that story.
How much is there?
You'll count it, put it in a bank vault, and we'll wait to see what happens. Toast to the 4 of us.
The whiskey was sharp, and it cut lots of Texas dust out of his throat. He washed it down with a pitcher of water. Damn, that stuff was tough. It had been years since he tried any, and that would not happen again for another long time. They began counting the money. Chet, under a lamp, started to read the ledger entries. He went forward several pages and stopped at a note that listed a monthly supplement to Rod Carpenter. $500. Son of a bitch. Riley was paying him well to not do anything almost a year before Hannigan hired Chet and the ranchmen to build the stage stops. He began to pay Hall about the same time that same amount a month. And Hall reported paying men he hired for their labor, it said. Chet would have bet some were dummy expenses that Hall made up. Then each time he showed Hall paying $100 a man, Chet could bet he got to keep what he did not pay out. Well, that on top of his wages.
Sent the money by Wells Fargo. Charges.
What was that?
He shipped money somewhere, and I think he erased the sender. Damn. I may have to go over this a dozen times. This guy shipped money to someone. All of this is a mess. But Hawk collected all fees, whether he paid them or not.
What else?
I'm going to get a real auditor to look at all of this, and hopefully he can make something out of it.
How soon can we go home?
You'll have to stop and see Virginia.
You object to it?
No, just wondering.
Might be what I need or don't need. You never know.
Take a couple days with her. Whatever you need. We made a major breakthrough here, and even your boss won't believe what we found. Money aside, Hall's pushing up daisies. The next guy's going to jail for a long time, and we know now why we had no help from Gallup.
Cole will stomp his boots when he hears that. He thought Carpenter was lazy and dumb. All the time he was on the take to drag his feet.
Who gets the reward for Hall?
You guys are counting it right now.
The next 2 days, he spent gathering evidence that the prosecutors requested so Riley could be charged as an accessory to the crimes committed. The federal prosecutor's office found several other crimes he had been involved in the ledgers. The office told him they considered the money unclaimed ill-gotten gains and it should go to his deputies. Of course, Riley's lawyers protested, but their client faced even more charges, so they dropped any claim. Most of it was small bills, but it amounted to over $5,000 a man. The money was then sent by Wells Fargo to Tanner at the Prescott Bank to be recounted and applied equally to their new or existing accounts. Dennis left early to stop and visit Virginia. Spencer and Jesus stayed to help Chet finalize the case. He'd sent Hannigan a wire saying Carpenter would be arrested shortly for his part in the crimes. The response was another apology and a question as to why Pinkertons didn't find any of this out. Well, Chet had no answer to that. Riding home via train and stage, Jesus asked Chet if he would help him find a ranch he could run cattle on and get a good foreman who would work for him. They were due to get into Tucson that night, and Chet watched the thick forest of saguaros that clad that part of Arizona going by the stagecoach window. He had no idea the amount. But he knew Jesus had never spent any of the reward money he had gotten over the years he worked with Chet. It was all in the bank.
Where would Anita like to live?
In a nice house. Not big as a Prescott ranch, but a nice one. I want her to meet more people so she can exchange ideas and share things. She's worked for Elizabeth so long, she steps back instead of forward. We talked about it. I was like that when you chose me. I didn't want to offend even the outlaws. I saw myself doing that. Now, I don't hang back. I am one of your men, and I need to be a part of them.
You know the day I saw that?
No.
When you drew your rifle and made Cargill move away from that woman.
It was my place to do that.
I can't tell you what to do about Anita, but you've moved her to accepting you as a husband. You need to take her more places. That may help.
I will. But my job is your safety, too.
Unless Spencer finds himself a woman.
Damn it, I am looking. But I'm getting more fussy by the day about getting the right woman.
They arrived in Tucson. There would be a 3-hour wait for the stage to the ferry. They ate supper at another restaurant that served barbecue. A well-dressed, black-haired woman who looked familiar to Chet arrived with a man in very expensive clothing.
Know him?
The two shook their head.
I ain't that rich, but what about her?
You don't want her.
Who is she?
She was the woman messed up Reg. Her name is Jeannie Downley. She has a big place up by Hackberry. I don't know if she's married to that rich guy, but I saw her twice before.
How do you know so much?
She turned my head one day, and this old cowboy along with me said, sit tight. She'll drive you crazy like she did poor Reg.
I'd like to be made crazy.
Their waiter came by, and Chet asked him who the well-dressed man was.
Lane McClure. He owns a big ranch south of Tombstone. He has places in Texas, too. She's not his wife. I don't know if he has one, but her name is Brinkley Stone. Her daddy has a big ranch north of Oracle and a big house up on Mount Lemmon. She lives with her father.
Those two come in often?
I think when he's back here in Arizona, he brings her here. He goes back and forth between here and Texas.
Thanks. We wondered. Now you know. What do you think, Spencer?
Probably something to look at and not touch.
Chet caught the wary shake of Spencer's head, knew how he felt, and couldn't do a damn thing about it.
Fellas, I'm anxious to get home. It's going to be Christmas shortly.
She busy filling your stockings while you are gone? Spencer, I have not told you, but that first Christmas with Chet was the damnedest one I ever had.
Liz is doing almost all of it.
Reckon I'd get a good woman in my stocking if I asked for her?
I doubt it.
Spencer, you're going to have trouble finding one, period.
We better roll on out of here if we want a seat on that coach.
You know something we don't, Chet.
Remember, I rode up with the driver clear to Benton going east.
They sped up and found seats. No other passengers, but hours later, when they stopped at Papago Wells, where the road went west to Yuma or north to Hayden's Ferry and on to Prescott, they gained a young woman passenger headed north. Rebecca Franks made conversation with all of them, but she and Spencer hit it off. She asked him about his work. That led to discussing his job as a marshal and what it pertained to. She obviously found him very interested. The way things went, Chet would have bet he might have found her interesting enough. It was dark when they arrived in Prescott. She stood on her toes and kissed Spencer on the cheek, thanking him for loading her things into the buckboard he had asked to borrow to deliver her to a Prescott address. Liz was waiting in a second buckboard with a ranch driver. Jesus got into the front of that second buckboard while Chet got onto the second seat, sitting close to Liz. They headed off to the ranch. The next morning, Chet didn't see Spencer until midday.
How was last night? And now you know where she lives.
Yes. I'm not familiar with Town Street addresses. I was a cowboy before down on the Verde and never came to town much. When I did, I was in the palace and other water holes. You know that two-story house of ill repute on Mountain Street?
Yes.
That's where she was coming to work.
You didn't make her a better offer?
You know, you could have knocked me over with a feather. She kissed me again, asked if I wanted to come in. I said, no, I better get back.
You need time off.
I do. I'll be back when I can. Damn it. Why do women make things so damn hard?
Toby came over and reported they had poles cut and were ready to build corrals. The sagebrush cutters already had 15 acres chopped, raked, and ready to mow next spring. He was hoping for lots more. Chet told him that Harold Falk said in a letter he was coming and would be there by Christmas to build the corrals needed. He did some for a big ranch after he left and needed the work. He, his wife, and big kids really worked hard. He told Toby to keep cutting poles.
Tally left you yet?
No, sir. She's not a quitter.
I didn't think so either.
That evening, Spencer returned with a young woman at his side. Seated in the living room, Spencer told Liz how they met on the stagecoach and they were talking about marriage. But they wanted to know some things.
Rebecca worries people won't accept her because of her past if we get married. She'd been working in a house of ill repute. I took her out of it. I told her we were not looking back, we were looking forward. She fears she must hide her head in shame.
I wish Valerie was here. That is Cole's wife. My husband put her on a stagecoach and sent her up here to work in a cafe. She is as respected a woman as any I know. She's raising Chet's son, Rocky. Raise your head as his wife. If you feel more solid, go to church with him or any of us. I won't tell you that some people may not want to stone you, but the Bible says you are forgiven.
Where should we live, in your opinion?
Cole and Valerie lived in town when they were married. I'm certain we can find a rental house and get you set up.
I kind of want to be away from people.
Rebecca, maybe work for Jen in town at her cafe. Meet people and make yourself not outgoing, but interested in their lives, and they will accept you.
If you don't want to do that, we can offer you a room in my house until you marry. Most of the girls come here, do what they can to help, but it is not a slave camp. You two can meet in the house, but I expect a holding hands sort of stay. I am not a prude, but I offer it only as your choice of shelter before you marry him.
Spencer, did you expect this?
Yes. I knew they're damn good people, and they've been helping lots of lost people. And I want you in a place where no one challenges you or makes you do things you don't want to do.
Do you have a wedding date chosen?
Is in a month all right?
I can wait that long. I'll find us a warm rent house, meanwhile, so we can go there when we become man and wife.
Get your things. We have a hot water system with a boiler to bathe with and lots of things hotels don't have. We do.
Rebecca was crying. Liz went to her and Spencer knelt on the other side of her. They were going to be all right. Chet had more bids coming in the mail on the telegraph system, and they were getting cheaper. They were all still way too high, but who knew? The stage line was running smoothly. Sean, in his letter, said they were about to finish up the Brandon and things were swell on the mountain. Lucy felt great. There was Christmas and two weddings coming up, Spencer and Rebecca's, and on New Year's Day, Jesus and Anita's. He had lots of blessings in his life. The loud wood pop from the fireplace brought Chet back to the present and the blessings before him. Yes, there were hardships, tragedy, and trying times between that time and today, but Chet Burns was thankful for it all. Burns Family Ranch 12, Rage for Vengeance, by Dusty Richards, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2019, Dusty Richards. Production copyright 2025, Graphic Audio, LLC. All rights reserved. Narrated by Matthew Bassett, and featuring Scott McCormick as Chet Burns, Lise Bruneau as Liz, John Vertulo as Cole, Steve Wanall as Jesus, Patrick Boylan as Spencer, Danny Gavigan as Toby, Evan Casey as Spud, Stephen Carpenter as Raphael, Michael Glenn as Hampt, Jonathan Church as Tom, Nora Ashrati as Iris and Monica, Mark Harrietha as Crane, Nanette Savard as Viola and Crystal, Neusha Navab as Ty, Laura C. Harris as Valerie, Ray, and Millie, Daniel Yaka as Alex, Danes, Tones, Black Hat, and Stevens, Chris Stinson as Duncan, Van Dam, and Riley, Mort Shelby as Hannigan, Zira Johnson as Wanda, Rob Marrera as Cody and Ramon, Bradley Foster Smith as Clyde, Donald Guzzi as Johnny Whitefeather and Harold B. Good, Matthew Schley as Bo, Jacob Yeh as Sean, Richard Rowan as Ben, James Konacek as Curly Bill, Harrison Evans, and Mr. Currents, Aaron Lynn as Victoria and Rennie, Nick DePinto as Sarge, Simon, and Clay, Keith Richards as Schroeder, Reigns, and Slim, Joey Sorlis as Sergeant Bullhorse and Wolf, Anthony Palmini as Herman and Bailey, Christopher Walker as Rounds, Nazia Chaudhry as Shirley, Emlyn McFarland as Lisa, Colleen Delaney as Tally, Rainer Gabriel as Brazos, Alyssa Keegan as Lucy, Christopher Williams as Cargill and Holland, Michael John Casey as Victor, Todd Schofield as Sims and Diaz, Tia Shearer as Susie and Hope, Yasmin Toison as May and Mary, Ryan Haugen as Sears, Eva Wilhelm as Anita and Annie, David Arden Engel as Gurley, and Yenny Ann as Sandra, with additional performances by Matthew Bassett, Cody Roberts, Terrence Aselford, Maria Amelia Park, Rose Elizabeth Supan, Drew Copas, Elizabeth Jernigan, Charles Joseph, and Sasha Olenek. Adapted for graphic audio by Matthew Bassett. Directed by Matthew Bassett. Dialogue editing by Kobe Jameson and Eli Van Zandt. graphic audio sound design by Eli Van Zandt. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. If you enjoyed Burns Family Ranch 12, Rage for Vengeance, you may also enjoy Smoke Jensen, The Beginning, Book 6, Angry Land. Keep listening for a preview of Angry Land in rip-roaring graphic audio.
Smoke, what are we gonna do? This is gonna ruin us.
Nobody's going to be ruined. Those killers will be brought to justice.
How can you know that? You trust those Kansas lawmen to find them?
I'll trust them until they give me a reason not to. But I'm not relying on them. I'm going after the men responsible for this myself.
Your wife's hurt. That's why you didn't go with the cows in the first place.
The sound of Sally's cane thumping on the planks made all the men look around as she emerged from the house.
I'm fine, and I'm certainly not going to stop Smoke from tracking down those outlaws and seeing to it that they get what's coming to them. If anyone can recover that stolen herd, it's him.
Nobody's gonna argue with that. Didn't mean to imply otherwise. Some of us can go with you if you want, Smoke.
No, you men are going to have your hands full keeping things going on your spreads. I'll need to move pretty fast, and I can do that better by myself.
Yeah, the trail's getting colder with every minute that goes by, I reckon. But that's a big gang, Smoke. Mighty heavy odds against you, even if you do manage to locate them.
I'll figure out a way to handle the odds. Don't worry about that.
None of the men appeared to doubt it. They had all heard the stories about Smoke, how he'd ridden alone into an outlawed town and killed 19 hardened gun wolves in one epic battle. How he had faced up to overwhelming odds again and again, and always emerged triumphant.
I tried to tell him he should take Pearly with him anyway.
Pearly's too important to the Sugarloaf. I'll rest a lot easier at night knowing he's here taking care of things.
Let's say you're able to recover those cattle. How will you get them to Abilene?
There are always plenty of cowboys around over there. They come up with the herds from Texas and don't want to head home yet. Or they're figuring out on getting a job somewhere else. It shouldn't be hard to round up a crew that can help me handle the herd.
Most of those Texas boys are pretty gun-handy, too, if you need help dealing with the skunks who held up that train. And there's nobody I'd rather count on to see that justice is done. Good luck to you, Smoke.
Ben Harper stuck out his hand. Smoke was moved as each man in turn stepped up to clasp his hand and wish him well. It had been his plan they had agreed to in the first place, risking everything they had to do so. He owed it to each and every one of them to recover those rustled cattle if he could. He would do everything in his power to accomplish that. And if it took getting a hand from some tough, fast-talking Texas hombres, well, that was all right, too.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,700 titles to choose from. Listen to over 225 binge-worthy series. We feature titles in genres like science fiction, fantasy, romantasy, westerns, mystery thrillers, comics, and more. Check out our exclusive series such as Deathlands, Rogue Angel, Outlanders, Tangent Knights, and Agent of Exiles, which are only available in our dramatized adaptation format. Experience a radically different type of audiobook produced with a full cast, sound effects, and cinematic music. Listen to a movie in your mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Our dramatized adaptation titles are available at all major audiobook retailers and platforms. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social platforms. For more information and samples of all our titles, visit our website at graphicaudio.net.